I am not the man on the paper. I noticed there I have been ordained. It wouldn't have been nice to have been there. But apparently I have been ordained and by accident. But I'd like to declare with Amos that I'm not a prophet nor one of the sons of the prophet. I'm simply an ordinary guy seeking to do what God tells him in this message. Now, I have a driver. I think probably the lollipop is the best thing. And so the driver, my driver, and you can accept that in as many different ways as you like. It is on.
Well, good morning, everyone. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. And Peter has asked me to read from Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, about the rebuilding of the wall. Now, when Sanballat heard they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring back the stones to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And Tobiah, the Ammonite who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." And so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. For they had plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hear it said among Christians, we are just going to have a prayer. I want to know about this just prayer. Just, only. They don't use the word mere, but it's the same word in this particular context. I hear other people saying, well, we'll only pray. Or in other situations, well, we can only pray. Only pray? Don't you know what prayer is? It is the new and living way that Christ consecrated through his flesh, right to the holiest of all. And when we pray, we're walking the blood-bought way, the crossway, and we come into the holiest of all. It's not only praying, it's very dynamic. Sometimes we abuse prayer. An awkward situation arises. I always remember being called upon by a friend. Oh, I call him a friend. He was expecting somebody else in the house, not me. And I opened the door, and his disappointment, you know, I can understand it, was utterly clear. Oh! Well, I wanted to see Don, he said. But of course, we prayed for you. There was a lack of faith on my part in that particular statement. Had he? Or when you meet that awkward person, you want to get away from them as quickly as possible. Well, I'll pray about it. And off goes the excuse. Prayer is not an excuse. It's a dynamic action. that we must follow. And what I'm going to call this sermon, if a sermon must have a title, is prayer and action. See, that passage that Josephine read reminds me of the English church today. We're diminished, we're despised, we're sometimes squabbling among ourselves. We are in all manner of difficulties. What an ideal opportunity for the Spirit of God to move in and to produce a revolution. I did joke with Peter earlier on that the mistaken rev in front of my name probably meant revolutionary. I sincerely hope so. Because what we're doing when we're praying is indeed a revolutionary matter. I mean, the world notices about it. How upset they get when a nurse offers to pray with a patient. They're aware of the power. The evil one is aware of the power. Are we aware of the power? Yet these Jews, they didn't make it an excuse for inaction. They set a guard, they watched, and they worked, and they prayed. And I think that's what we're called to do. We're called to carry on working, doing what we're doing, and more beside. And we're also meant to bathe that activity in prayer. By the way, those of you who are of a somnolent disposition and used to sleeping midday, I promise not to preach for longer than an hour. I shall keep that promise. But how I feel that, you know, we've got plenty of Sanballats around here. We've got plenty of the people who despise the Christian church today. Don't be put off. You can pray about them. And prayer is a powerful weapon. Let's look at one or two of the instances. I want to carry on this national theme. The Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 21 says this, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with," what does it say? "Carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." There is a bad habit which I've got. I'm addicted to it and I confess this addiction. I listen to the news. It is a bad and damaging habit. But it is essential as well, because I ought to know what's going on in the world. And when I listen to what's going on in the world, I am full of perplexity and anxiety. It drives me to my knees. And we can pray. And the context of the Lord's statements in this particular verse is in fact the end times. Now, one of the things that's said in Daniel, I have not got, by the way, a neat program in which I put the parousia, the time of tribulation, the reign, the millennium reign. I believe them, but I'm sorry, I haven't worked them all out. You have to have somebody a bit brighter than me to sort out all those. But I do believe that the Lord can come any time, and I believe that, in fact, we should be living in the light of that. He that hath this hope in him, says the scriptures, purifieth himself. The possible coming of our Lord Jesus Christ should activate us in our self-examination, that we see what is wrong with us and bring it before the Lord in prayer. We should watch and we should pray. Let us watch in the news and let us pray. I had a rather remarkable occasion the other day. I was in McDonald's. There's a confession in itself. I happened to be in Colchester. And I got talking to the lady sitting in the next to me, and I then got, she was a Kashmiri, I got a briefing about Kashmir. I thought, Lord, why have you done this? And I then went home and prayed about Kashmir. I'm not going to be controversial now. That's one of the messes that the British left behind. We've got some responsibility there. But I prayed about the matter because it was a flashpoint. And all that she was telling me, next time I watched the news, it was almost word to word. The poor woman was anxious about her family. I had to pray. Pray about it. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. But watch knowingly. And so we hear, and we're perplexed by many of the things we hear on the news. Some of us rejoice about certain things that others are alarmed about. I won't tell you what. But all of these things. Look, they're small beer to the mighty God who's going to handle the things that are of the world. And has got the world in the palm of his hand. Let me remind you that God is God. And he is over all. We sing great songs about his sovereignty. But let us also remember and pray great prayers that assume his sovereignty. He is Lord of all. And the things we hear on the news are very small. And men will realize one day that they are small before God. So let us watch and pray. But let us not be overly alarmed. The number of times in Scripture that I read, do not be afraid. Now I've got, yes, I have got one qualification. I've got a PhD in worrying. And I'm pretty good on anxiety. I'm very clever at it. And if you want a witness, I've got one over there. Look, do your friends forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. The old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. I want to go on to something else, which we move now on to the price of prayer and where it takes us. And I want to go into Matthew here. Let me read this briefly to you. Then he returned to his disciples, the Lord Jesus, and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men watch with me for 1 hour, he asked. He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Gosh, I know that feeling. So he left them and went away once more and prayed third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Deeply moved by the fact that our Lord, when he was going to die for us, and he faced the horrendous possibilities and realities of the cross and dying and being made sin for us that night before, our gloomiest thoughts come to us when we're alone. Our vulnerability is often when we're alone. And the Son of Man, the Son of God, what did he want? He wanted his disciples nearby. He wanted a company. He wanted them with him, and they fell asleep. There are people suffering. I was going to say it's a certain bet, I know, within this congregation. Men have a great disability over women. Don't tell the feminists, they won't agree. But they have this great disability. They think that if a problem comes up, they're the answer. And the ladies laughed. They ain't. We have to take it to the Lord in prayer. And there are times when being there is the only action, but it is an action. And what the Lord Jesus wanted was some disciples, the three particularly, with him at that gloomy, gruesome time. They were asleep. You will meet people who need somebody with them. Oh, I won't, brother. I won't visit her. She's just so miserable. She depresses me. And there's nothing I can do for her. There is something you can do for her. You can be there. And that is action. And it is an anagram. You're quite right. How dare anyone doubt you? Listen and silence are anagrams. And I'm afraid the English love to play with their language. That's true. So to listen is a great gift. And it is also a divinely given gift, and it's one we should cultivate. Listen, the Lord needed to be listened to. One way of killing a sermon and driving everyone to sleep is to announce the number of points you've got. I always remember one time when I was a little boy, a very old man, even older than I am now, got up and said on Easter Day, "I have got 14 points on the resurrection." Don't worry, they're only blessed. I think they only got to 5. So he was all right. Well, I've got... I'm going to lose it once, but I can't resist the temptation. Forgive me. I've got 7 points of principles of praying. And if you pick up one, then that's going to be a blessing to you, I hope. I'm going to read from Ephesians. Remember the armor of God that you put on. What is it all surrounded? What straps it and holds it together? We read in a moment. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here it comes. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always be praying. Keep on praying. For all the Lord's people, pray also for me that when I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. That's a remarkable prayer. That's an astounding prayer. The first thing, and there's been quite a lot written about this, and some of it tries to make it a bit mystic, but pray in the Spirit. Now, I always end my prayers, because I was taught to, with the phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name by which I come. It's the only basis on which I can speak to God, the work that Christ has done. Now, somebody compared this, and I had forgotten who, only recently in a sermon. See, I do listen to other people's sermons. And the man said it's like a signature or a seal. He didn't use the word seal, but it's a useful one. He said, you've got it, that name, but you will only use it. You'll only open that checkbook and sign out checks from that checkbook when you know that is something that your owner, the account holder, will be pleased about. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, when we pray, we should be in fact praying those things which we think are pleasing to God and what God would have us pray. Now that's pretty broad, so don't be discouraged. So praying in spirit. No, I don't understand fully all of it. I know that there is a great release in tongues. I realize that there's a great release in a whole host of things, that our prayers are in fact released. But I think one of the things I'm going to suggest and teach you and myself is we should seek in praying in the Spirit to align our thoughts and wills to those of God. So a first prayer about a person is, well, Lord, what have you in mind for this person? Pray for a vision of what they need, or the issue, or the situation that you're praying. Pray that they might, in fact, that you might know what God has in mind, and then start praying. If you think about it, if you do seek this alignment in prayer, all the promises which some find difficult to understand, that the Lord will give whatever you ask, will in fact be fulfilled, because you're asking in his will. That's asking in the Spirit. Number 2. I did promise not to do that. All occasions. Remember one of our congregation way back in Colchester? She went a bit, I'm going to say the word doolally, that's not politically correct. She was, I suppose, suffered from some mental problem which really affected her reason. And a lot of us have had problems of this nature. And one or two of the people said, well, can we pray about it? Can you pray about it? What do you talk to God about? Of course you can pray about it on all occasions. A person broken on the great hard stone of mental health, bring it to the Lord. It's okay to pray about that. A little child learning the faith. I used to be embarrassed by this. Please, can you pray for my hamster? Yes, of course you can. Because prayer is partly a conversation with God. It is, in fact, the very essence, the very air of your relationship with him. It's what we breathe. I often wonder if the atheists... Sorry, this is a bypass. But it's what I've been thinking about. Atheists who say they don't believe in God through lack of evidence and because they can't see him. I wonder if they apply the same principles to air. So on all occasions, yeah, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever family problems arise, on all occasions, it is okay to pray about it. But that praying also involves seeking the mind and the heart of God in prayer about what God wants in that situation. Number three, all kinds of prayer. Yes, I've got news for you Baptists, if you are. God listens to Anglicans. He listens to a lot more people than you'd be surprised what God listens to. All kinds of prayer. God understands prayer in 16th century English, which some of us pray in. Some of God still he listens to all manner of different languages, even French. I shouldn't say that, should I? because I used to worship at every year at a French church in northern France and learned so many wonderful things there. Yes, he understands. He even understands an Essex accent, for which we must praise the Lord particularly. He prays all kinds of prayers. He will listen if you pray a liturgical prayer out of the prayer book, because that's the only way. He will listen to you if you can only repeat the Lord's Prayer. He will listen and he will hear you if, in fact, you can only speak in the silence and the thoughts well out from your heart and you can't verbalize them. He will listen if you can only speak in tongues as the Spirit moves you. God listens to all kinds of prayer. And this is part of the gracious nature that our God has. All kinds of prayer. It is the content, not the form, that is important. And so often Christians have been caught by the form and argue about the form. God wants to hear from you. F.B. Meyer once said the promise of the problem with prayer was not unanswered prayer, but unsaid prayer. He also says later on, next thing, to on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, with be alert. Prayer is not closing down your mind or entering some kind of monastic self-indulgent state. It is an active engagement in the situation in which you find yourself. Yes, we need to get alone with the Lord from time to time. We do indeed. We need to give him our attention. But we also need to, in fact, see the world, see the situation which we're in, and then bring it to heaven's gate or to heaven's sanctuary. So we be alert. Those people watching on the wall of Jerusalem, they prayed. They, at one time, didn't they? They had a sword and a sword to hand and a trowel. They were ready for the attack. Incidentally, be of courage. Christians are not attacking the world. The kingdom is under attack. But, and this is true in warfare generally, the defenders are favoured. It's a stronger position. It is more difficult to attack. And what are we told in Ephesians? To stand. Be here. For Brightlingsea, stand. And in your witness and in your lives day by day, stand. No need to attack. They'll do the attacking and they'll do the receiving. And then the phrase goes, always keep on going, keep on praying. It's easy to give up on prayer. You prayed for somebody, and there are people I prayed for donkey's years, for a long, long time. Keep on praying. God still wants to hear you on that particular issue. I've compared prayer to a conversation with God. You clearly have one in your boat. Well, things happened in the boat in the New Testament, so it's a very good place, I must say, to be. But if you're talking to God, I remember being at, a service or something, and the thought came to me about atheism again. I thought, well, who have I been talking to all my years, all this? If there's no God, who have I been talking to? I've been talking to the Lord God, and that is the Christian life, a conversation with God. And it's always on your waking moments and your sleeping moments. He is there by his grace and by the sacrifice of his Son. He is available. Are we? Are we ready to continue that conversation? So always keep on. For all the Lord's people, we should love our neighbours as ourselves. And I suspect that's the width of our prayer. Include all Christian people and as many as you can as above that as well, I would suggest. It is a universal application prayer. There's no one who is off limits. The Lord will teach you when he is not prepared to do one thing or another that you're desiring. But nevertheless, pray on. I pray particularly for my family. I pray, incidentally, for leadership. Leadership in our country. No comments there. I pray for leadership in our churches. These are times when it is exceedingly difficult. There's a whole lot of changes that have undergone in these last 50 years, which are so altered the culture of our land and of the world. And confronted with that, what do our leaders do? How do they approach the preaching of the gospel? How do they in fact support the church with these many difficulties? Pray for them. Pray particularly for those in use. And I come finally to the you'll be glad to hear that word finally, I know. I come to this prayer that Paul asked for. He didn't pray about the bread not being quite so hard in the prison. He did not pray for a lessening of beatings. He did not pray for a more comfortable bed. He prayed for boldness. Because what you're about is a Christian in your situation and your situation only. And somebody asking me out of the blue, what do you want to pray for, Peter? And the difficulty is, and the danger is, that I might pray for, well, I wish I could walk a bit faster, wish I could run, wish I wouldn't get out of breath so much. No! That's not the prayer. What I should say, and I'm a carnal man, so I wouldn't, but what I should say is, pray that I might represent Christ in the situation, that I might be, in fact, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you're not asked to do that job on your own, by the way. You're that's a corporate thing. So don't try everything on your own. Always do it in fellowship. So, what have I said so far? Trying to summarize. This sermon has been very badly structured. But anyway, I'll try and summarize what I've been trying to say. Prayer is business with God. Therefore, we should take God into account in our prayers. What is in his mind? Prayer is Always aligned. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Temptation, by the way, the word... Here I go off on another bypath. The word temptation in Scripture can mean two things. It can either mean a temptation to sin. We all know about that. Or it can mean a trial in which we are, in fact, tested and proven. So one of those two things. Lead us not into temptation. And we must watch and pray. Look out particularly, I think, to temptation for sin. If you have, in fact, a difficulty, I'm going to choose a safe subject, don't worry. Is it a safe subject? I'll leave it to you. If you have a great difficulty with cream cakes, don't spend all your time in a bakery. You know you have only your temptations, and you know there are places where you will find those, avoid them, flee them. And so that's watch and pray. Prayer should be the very essence of our Christian existence. It is the cement or the medium by which we have a relationship with God. Don't neglect it. It will sometimes lead to action. It is wedded to action. It is wedded to your activity as a Christian. But always pray. Watch and pray. For his name's sake. Amen.